Yonam of Tfilo. There's a very important chazal which we learn Tmura. It teaches us a very important insight. Gemara says that a person that, for example, does Galila with the Sefer Torah, and he touches the cloud directly, so Nikbar Oro Menoisa Mitzvah, that he leaves this world, but he doesn't have this mitzvah with him. The yisoid of this chazal is that if you want the schus of a mitzvah, we have to have the proper cover for that mitzvah. The proper respect, the proper dignity, the proper attitude, then the zoich will get the schar. But if we don't have the proper attitude, if we don't have the proper perspective on the kedushas Sefer Torah, the sanctity of the Sefer Torah, then we cannot get the schar of having handled the Sefer Torah. And this was a teaching that the Tosis Yontev articulated. You know, when the Xeris Tach Petat in 1648 and 1649, in the Chmielnitsky and Achshemov uprising, there was a phenomenal amount of Jews were killed in Eastern Europe at that time. There's a whole machlokes historically between 100 and 600,000 Jews were killed in the Chmielnitsky uprisings of those years. And in its own time, relative to the population of Europe, it was in a way almost as devastating as the Holocaust, perhaps. The population of Europe probably at that time was 2.5 million. I said, we don't know exactly what the figure was. Some was between 100 and 600,000. They're very widely varying figures. And they were not methodical murderers in the sense of the Nazis in Achshemov that recorded everything that they did. They just killed and kept going. Afterwards, as we know, the Tosfos Yontov wrote a special Mishmerach that those that don't talk in shul should have a special schus. And they said he wrote it because we suffered in the Chmielnitsky uprisings because we were not marked appropriately about the Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. So the world, by and large, understood the Tosfos Yontov to mean that the chet of talking in the Beis HaKnesses was so severe that brought the sorrow of the of what we call Tach V'Tar of 1648 and 1649. The Mashkiach of Lakewood Yeshiva Ramat Solomon Shlita, and the Svarim writes otherwise. He says that's not the correct understanding. It is not that the Tosfos Yontov was telling us that the chet of speaking in Shul was so severe. It is a severe chet, but it's not that severe to have brought such a catastrophe on Klal Yisrael. What disturbed the Tosfos Yontov was something else. Whatever the reason that it came, with the fact that we had the schus tefilas harabim, the merit of davening in shul barabim, that should have protected us. So why didn't it protect us? And his answer was, we did not merit full protection of the tefilah because of the fact that we did not have proper covered base of knesses. So it's not that that was the causative factor, but we could have prevented the catastrophe with the schus of tshuva. Now we did not merit to achieve that because we did not have proper covered beis hakneses. We lack coverage for the mitzvah, and therefore we cannot have the schar. We see that in other realms in Chazal, that David HaMelech one night sneaks in to where Shaul is sleeping in the midst of the enmity between them. And David HaMelech could have taken Shaul's life, but he did not see fit to kill such a person. So we sliced a piece of Shaul's garment off to indicate that he'd been there and he could have done mortal harm to him. And Chazal tell us that he should have found another way to leave his calling card. If he destroyed a piece of clothing, then he did not merit in life to have the full benefit of clothing. And that's why at the end of his life, and the story that we have about David HaMelech, that he became very, very chilled. And it says, Vayechasub of God, they covered him, and it didn't help. They could not warm him up. And Chazal tell us it was for this reason, because he didn't have the proper respect for the gift of clothing that the Rabbi Hashem gives us, that he did not merit to have the full benefit of clothing either. So, and we find also that this notion of kavod for a mitzvah, and Chazal are very, very strong that there's an idea of hachana the mitzvah when it comes to tefillah, that we have to prepare for the daven. It's not only to daven, but the kavod of tefillah, the kavod of the Rabbeinu Shalom demands that we prepare for it. In the beginning of Siman Tzadik Gimel, we have, when it comes to our Gemara Brachos, Yishe She'achas Kodim She'yokum Lis Paro. At the highest level, a person should prepare an entire hour before he starts the tefillah. And as the Chofetz Chaim points out, normally when we use the term Shah in this regard, it doesn't actually mean literally an hour of 60 minutes. It means a small amount of time. But Rabbeinu Yonah says, it's apparent in the Gemara, that this Shah means a Shah. Because Chazal asked, if the Chassidim HaRishonim spent an hour preparing for davening, an hour davening, and an hour after davening before they went back to their normal affairs, so they spent 9 hours a day in tefillah. So they asked, when was it Nasis, Mosei Nasis? How did they, was Zoycha to learn that they spent 9 hours a day with tefillah? So here it's apparent that this shot that we're talking about is a full hour. And what's the reason for this? That a person is focused on the Rebbeinu Shalom, that has taken his head out of his mundane affairs of his life. And when I say mundane, I don't mean inherently mundane, but in the larger scale, they are mundane. Our businesses, how our home is doing at the moment, how our garden is doing, etc. All the items that so preoccupy us and that need to be taken care of in life. But on the scale of the Rebbeinu Shalom, they fade into insignificance. So a person needs an hour, Chassidim HaRishonim, to fully rid themselves of being focused on that. That they should have their focus solely on the Rebbeinu Shalom. B'sha'achas achar ha'tefillah, and an hour after the tefillah, so the Shulchan Aruch writes, shalot tehei niris alof kamasu, that it shouldn't look like a burden. Shemamar lotzis b'mena, that he's anxious to run away. If a person goes and he appreciated a certain experience, he's not anxious to race out of it. He likes to linger before he goes. So therefore, they waited an extra hour at the end. And the Chofetz Chaim writes, Miuzel Chassidim, this was for people at a very, very high level. For the Shoram, and for the rest of us, die the Shom Uetis. But it's sufficient to have a small amount of them. Sheyisha Kodim Sheyascha. That we should stop before we begin. It's a little bit more than Amachas. It's a very, very small amount of time. But at least there should be some time that we actually wait. And he brings in the Seder Ayom from one of the Rishonim, Yochalis Akim, which will ensure our soul of Yisak Nesif. If a person doesn't have to rush to leave before there's no longer a minion, it's good to wait to be from the last 10 out. You want to be from the first 10 there, which you want to be from the last 10 out. Okay, they go, when he writes, Gantia Yeshiva Vesak Nesu Mitzvah Neyatsu. There's an Indian of a Chonolatvim coming to Midas Palo before the Rebbeinu Shalom. Yeah, one of the great Achonos of Tvila is a person has the schus to be able to learn before Davani. Chazal tell us, the Tosafot brings it to the beginning of Brachos from Yerushalmi, that the person, they know the person's should be unmade. Feel of the of return. And that's one of the reasons that we say Ashrei before davening at Mincha, that there should be at least a little divrei before you begin the davening. So the notion of hachana l'tefillah, preparing for the davening, I'm about to do something awesome, to stand before the Rebbeinu Shalom, to recognize the Rebbeinu Shalom is the sole source of everything and anything that I need in life. So how much kavod and derech eretz do I need for the Rebbeinu Shalom as I begin the tefillah? So consequently, there's a need of a chon of a tefillah. And this is something that we need to pay attention to. You know, we run into daven, we live very, very stressful and hectic lives. And we're always racing to get wherever we have to go. And we run in and grab our talis and tefillin and we put them on and grab the siddur. It's all nice, beautiful. But if we had a few minutes after we put on the talis and tefillin, just to collect ourselves, to forget about where we've been and to forget about where we're going. Life will catch up to us on its own. It doesn't need us to have the extra time during davening to think about it. Just to give ourselves a chance to calm down from the stress and just be focused on the Rabbeinu Shalom. So this is the part of the, I would say, the psychological and emotional preparation for Tefillah. And the Shulchan Aruch continues in this Yamal. A person should be in a very serious mood. He's humble before the Rabbeinu Shalom. He stands in awe of the Rabbeinu Shalom as he arises to the Dab. That's the attitude that a person has to have. As the Pasuk says, Ivdu as Hashem b'yira, in Hainu HaTfilah. What is the avoida that we have? We don't have the avoida of Kabbalah. Obviously, when you come to the Beis HaMikdash, it's B'dosh Yitiroh, stand in awe of the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. When we come to Daven, it also has to be Ivdu as Hashem b'yira. That's our karma. We don't have the actual karma in the Beis HaMikdash. Lo mitoch schok v'kalas royush v'form teilim. Not from levity and jokes and insignificant matters. And on the other, no mitoch kas. Well, times are frustrated in life. It was hard to find a parking space by shul today. So we come in and we're all wound up. It's also we can't have the focus about it. No mitoch simcha. Person has to approach the Rabbeinu Shalom from simcha, joy. The calming, the tranquil parts of the Torah. For example, some of the Gulas Mitzrayim, we talk about the fact that the end before, right before we come to Shmoneh Esrei, the Mitzrayim Gal Tomah, the Rabbeinu Shalom is the Goyim. And as the Nesivos tells us in Asagodo, the Nesivos Mitzrayim shows us is a paradigm for every time we'll be in Gulas. And every sorrow that we have, the Rabbeinu Shalom will redeem. So if I just stop a moment to think about the implication of Gulas Mitzrayim, and that the Rosh stands with me, the Rosh Hashanah is going to save me from everything that takes place. On Somach L'Tehila L'David, or next to Ashrei, and he says particularly why, Shekosabai, that in Ashrei we say Ritzon Nirei Abiyasa, that if we stand in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we'll certainly carry out our wish. And Shamra Hashem Es Kol Oyavo, the Rosh Hashanah will provide us with security and safety. So a person, if we took that properly seriously, finishing so a person would be in a very joyous state. He's happy, in fact, to be connected to the Rabbeinu Shalom. And that's the state that he should start it on. He's at a heart. Walking with the Rabbeinu Shalom. How would we feel if we just had a tremendous yeshua? It was a problem I'm working on, whatever, whether it's a business problem, a family problem, a health problem, a spiritual problem, whatever it is. And I've been working on it for months and months and months, trying to get, to a resolution of it. And 5 minutes before I come to show the resolution, it's resolved in the best way possible. I could not imagine a better solution to this problem. Walking to the base of Knesset, my heart is mulling gil. I have such joy, such connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can't wait to open up the siddur to begin to daven. So if you properly focus on Ashrei, for mincha, Tzom Yirei Avyasa, or Pesukot Zimna, Shema Hashem Es Kol Oyavo, then we would feel this tremendous urge and connection to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We feel a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Be a different too. So this is another aspect. This is a spiritual preparation to put ourselves spiritually in the right frame of mind. Of aim of ahachno, being humbled and in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in a joyful state, appreciating the chesed of the Rabbeinu Shalom. And in aim dim is palom mitochem him. That is another thing. That if we want to daven properly, we can't daven properly if we're in a state of confusion or agitation. But because of that, I don't know this parliament of din, but we talk halacha. If a person is involved in a complex matter, and he's firing on all cylinders. He can't just get up 2 seconds later and die. It doesn't work. Because the mind is racing. I was sitting at he was involved in a din Torah, and I have to explain all the facets of the case, and I have to be totally on top of my game to be aware of everything that's being said and to respond appropriately. Or a person's learning a very deep Indian in learning, and he's considering all different pshat, and maybe this is the pshat, 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 here I have a kasha here, this doesn't fit. So his mind is preoccupied. Now he gets up to daven, what's going to happen? His mind is still thinking about the tosfos or the din that he was involved in before. So then he's not psychologically prepared. He doesn't have the tranquility he needs. Like right before davening, it's best if a person did the other things, he's still allowed to daven. But if a person wants to know what a seder hayom should be, before davening is a good time to learn Mishnah Berurah. Why? Because these are clear-cut halachas. No, we're not involved in pilpul, we're not involved, you know, what's the pshat in this place, is this way, that way, the other way, the third way, the fourth way. It's clear in the Shulchan Aruch what you're supposed to do. So this, the mind, can go from that to the other. And doing that, the Ramah says, Ananami is come out, we talk, this is simcha. Yichudi Hashem, Yisharam, Yisam, Chanet, learning brings a certain joy to us. But that's also simcha shamitzu that a person learns. So this talks about the nature of the different types of achana that a person has to have in the psychological level. And then there's another thing. We're coming before the Rabbeinu Shlomo. So we have a halacha. Normally we say, Stam Yadayim Akosha, make a bracha mitz. It's the middle of the day. I washed my hands earlier when I davened. I really don't know what's happened in the last few hours. As far as I know, I didn't touch anything which would require me to wash my hands again. But if you ask me to state it for a fact, that I know so, that I can't do either. Listen, take out a video and I'll see. But till I see a video, I don't know. That's what we call stam yadayim. I don't know that I touched something that I shouldn't touch, which would necessitate the tefillas yadayim. And on the other hand, I don't know that I didn't touch. I don't know that I did touch, and I don't know that I didn't touch. That's what we call stam yadayim. So stam yadayim a kosher to make a bracha. If I want to drink a cup of coffee, eat an apple, or even while I eat an apple, I don't have to wash my hands before I do so. But this does not prevail when it comes to when it comes to Shmoneh Esrei, then we specifically have to wash our hands. Why? Because here we're coming before the Rabbeinu Shalom. And Stam is not enough. We have to know that we actually, there's a little heat on us to prepare, to make sure that we're in a full state of Tara, Kedusha, and Mitzvah. And therefore, before davening, we have to wash our hands. The Shulchan Aruch says it's Simuch Tzadik Beis of Dalat Tzorach, Lirchot, Yodov, Mayim, and Yeshlo. A person has to wash his hands with water if he has it. Then he has to seek water. And this is a din of Kichon to prepare for davening. And this is true for Shachris, Mincha, and Marav, all of them. And so this is, again, this is a matter of preparing the Kedusha, a personal sanctity, to stand before the Rabbeinu Shalom today. That I have to come. The Kohen, well, it's a notion that was similar to that. What did the Kohen have to do if the Kohen came to the Beis HaMikdash? What was he obligated to do? He's not obligated, as we learned in Numa. He's not obligated to go to the mikveh. He doesn't know that he's coming. But he is obligated to go to the kiyar, right to the basin, and wash his hands and feet. And if he doesn't do so, it's chayav misa. It's considered a total desecration of the sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash. So from there we have a notion that when a person comes to daven, that's our avodah. So we also have to be mekadesh ourselves, wash our hands. So this again is another notion of the hachana material. There's all types of questions about this. Does one have to use a kli, a vessel, for this, or does it suffice Does it suffice just to wash directly from the sink without using the kli? In the Matzah Shekel and Siman Dalet, it seems that it's l'chatchila one should use a kli. But there are daily oilam that held it's not necessary to use a kli. Just one has to wash one's hands. So there are differing practices in this regard. And Chazal always tell us, we learned in August yesterday, that Yibes Chabes Vad L'Chachamim. You should endeavor to meet Chachamim, because when you meet Chachamim, inevitably, even in casual contact with them, you're going to learn new halachas. So Baruch Hashem, I have the particular schus that I know Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein of Bnei Brak, one of the sons-in-laws of Rav Yoshe, a great guy who's put out many, many sforum. And we're friendly with each other. And I tend to visit him when I go to Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, he lives in Bnei Brak. It's a very choshuva rabbonus in Bnei Brak, in Ramat Elchanan. And he has a koilel in Cholom. So I tend to visit him usually in his koilel in Cholom. That's where I go to visit. So I try to get there at a time that, you know, I try to come at the end of the first Seder. So right after the Seder is Mincha, I can daven Mincha, and then we'll have a chance to talk with each other. That's usually the time I choose to come. So one time I come, so I go out to the hall to wash my hands for Mincha. He's standing right in front of me, and he has a cup in his hands, and it takes a small amount of water, a very small amount of water, and he washes his hands. And he turns to me, he says, Deshver, meaning Rav Yoshev, that's how held it. You don't need a revius to wash for two. To wash the tefillah shadayim for bread, you need a revius. But to wash your hands for davening, there's no shir. Even a small amount of water, as long as it washes your hands, is sufficient to give the kaddish your hands for tefillah. So this is what Chazal tells us, the gedola shemusha yosem b'lehud. This was not a learning moment. I just was online behind them for the purpose of washing my hands to daven. And as he washed his hands, he turned to me and he said, he was explaining why he took such a small amount of water. Rabbi Yoshua says, you don't need more than that. I learned a new halacha, one that I had never, you know, it wasn't in my Shulchan Aruch that he didn't need revius per se. So we do need to wash our hands. That's a hachana l'tefillah. Before we come there, the person should wash his hands before he comes to daven. Now we'll see how much we'll have machped the Shulchan Aruch. There is a Rambam, and the Chofetz Chaim has a whole pilpul in the Gemara Halacha about this. If some suggest that according to the Rambam, if one didn't wash one's hands and one davened, is that a filu b'di'evad ain't filoso tefillah, the Rambam says. Even b'di'evad, after the fact that he's davening, he's not yet tefillah, the Rambam suggests. It's a tzorachi in the dinner. And the Chofetz Chaim wrote a lengthy piece, an analysis of the Rambam, and it came to the conclusion that according to the Rambam, he actually yet tefillah. But there is a view, the Prima Godlam's assessment of the Rambam says it very could very well be that according to the Rambam, that if he didn't wash before and we daven, we'd have to daven again. Unfortunately for us, the Chofetz Chaim passage is not the case. But just to show us how significant this is, the hachana l'tefillah, to be mekadesh ourselves, to sanctify ourselves with what we did the tefillah. So this has to do with the washing of the hands. The Rambam says it's even ma'akim in the evidence. Just to give us a measure of how significant this halacha is. The Shulchan Aruch continues in Tzadik Beis Dalet that if I didn't have water tzorach lachzor chareim at parsa, I'd have to go for a parsa. Now a parsa is a long distance. We're dealing with a parsa is 4 mil. So we're doing 8,000 amas. So a person would have to wait to travel another 3 miles. If I'm traveling and I don't have water, I should wait another 3 miles of travel before I decide to daven without washing my hands. And and the water I'll find, you know, down the road where I'm going to come. I will talk lachzor l'achirav. If a person has to go out of his way, so how far does he have to go? the Mokamayim is ad mil. Then he has to go 1 mil, is 2,000 amos, it's 4/5 of a mile. So imagine how much a person has to go, the route out of his way to walk 4/5 of a mile, 2,000, almost 4,000 feet, to find water to wash his hands. And the only thing he writes in Siori Shiyavas Mantvilo, if it's very close, for example, to this Mantvilo, it's close to Shkia in the afternoon. And until he'll go to get the water, he'll miss this man, and Yenaki Yoda B'tzor of Ofer Mechamid de Menache, and it suffices to wipe his hand off on a stone or on earth or anything that would cleanse his hands. And he's Yotzei with that. Now, how careful we have to be about this? Rochatz Yod of Shachris. A person woke up in the morning, early in the morning, and he washed his hands. Visiach Daito means he was not careful to make sure that he didn't touch anything improper. He says, the typical example is the Chabad's times is Shehiflik Harvey. He took a lot of time, being on the Tilo the Tfilach, Shehiflik Daito. And therefore, he was not, if you ask him, was he careful every moment not to touch what he shouldn't touch, he can't tell you. The Kosher gives Yeshaya Chesach Hadas, being on the Tilo Shel Shachos, the Tfilas HaMincha, the person washed in the morning, we certainly should assume by the time he comes to Mincha, in the normal case, that he had Hesach Hadas. He was not fully aware every moment what he did. It's Tzricham Netilo Letfilo. And he has to wash again. And as he writes, and this is for Dafka, this is a special Chumra for Davka. This is a Miesh Lomayim, if he has water. But below Yivorach, he doesn't make another bracha. Until this Adam, we only make because he's been prepared for Davka. And if he has no water, he has to go looking for it. Then he does not have to wash his hands again. And so we see how important the Inyan of preparing for davening is. That if he got up in the morning already, and he washed his hands, and now he's up a number of hours, he got up very early to learn. If he asks him afterwards, you know, it's been so long since I washed, I can't tell you every single thing that I did. You know, maybe my head itched and I scratched it or whatever. I adjusted something about my sock. Do I know? Who knows? You know, these are little things that are so casual, we don't recall them. We don't realize them afterwards. So I have to wash my hands again for food. So this is an example, Rabbi Yisai, of the chashivus, the significance that we have to give to God. Not only we talked in earlier weeks about davening the kavanah, to daven with appropriate kavanah, an awareness of the presence, we stand in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But here we're talking about the things that I have to do before the davening, that I should prepare myself in an emotional state, in a psychological state, in a spiritual state, in a state of kedusha to be mekadesh my hands, like the kohen coming to the Beis Hamikdash, goes to the kiyah. And that's an absolutely mandatory part of his avodah. So this gives us an idea of the seriousness, the gravity that we have to give to tefillah. That it demands of us not only that we daven appropriately, but prepare appropriately. And in that schus, may the Rebbeinu Shel Olam be mekabel all of our tefillahs. We should be mispala al Rabbi Yisai for all of Klal Yisrael now, that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam should provide us with Yeshua, for Shlenga, for all the Chaylam. And we should be very soon to see the burden of us. The Ribbono Shel Olam removes this terrible plague which has afflicted the entire world. And as we begin to go forward tentatively, the Ribbono Shel Olam gives bracha to all of our steps. We don't make any missteps which chalila cause harm to anyone else. I wish you good night, Rabbi Yisai. The Ribbono Shel Olam watch all of you. And we'll be very again to meet tomorrow. Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach. Tomorrow is Wednesday. And Wednesday is these questions and answers. Tomorrow night, the show will be at 7 o'clock, Be'ezus Hashem. And may the Ribbono Shel Olam watch over all of us. Good night, it has been a pleasure.
Amen. Thank you.